All right, get your Bibles this morning. And turn, please, to the book of Ephesians. All right, let me grab my Bible here. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to come down here by you today. I feel like we got a smaller group, and sometimes I feel like there's a great gulf fixed between us. So I like to get right down. We're starting a new series of messages. The last two Sundays, I just challenged us. The last two Sundays, if you were here, you know I challenged us about going forward for Christ, reaching the kids, reaching everybody for the Lord. And there's been a wonderful response here of late. People, just like I said, 11 workers in Master Club Wednesday night. I was blessed. And so God is at work. And we just need to keep on praying because we know who will oppose us, and that's the Satan. He'll oppose this church, and he'll oppose you in your life. And so we're going to go to the book of Ephesians and start a new series. I mentioned a few weeks ago that our last 2 weeks were kind of topical messages, but I prefer an expositional type of message where we go verse by verse. And so we're going to start that this morning in the book of Ephesians. It's just a great, great book. How much do you know about the book of Ephesians? Think about it. Do you know any memory verses out of that book? Of course, the Apostle Paul wrote this book. But it's interesting to note that he did not address this book to any church in particular, whereas he did in others. He wrote it to the saints, you see, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints, which are at Ephesus. He doesn't mention a church here. It's the saints. Now, that word saints is sometimes misconstrued. And in fact, if you go to the dictionary and look up the word saint, it talks about someone who has died, but whose life was special, and they've now canonized that person, like in the Catholic Church. But Paul tells us in multiple places that if you're a child of God, you're a saint. Amen? Good to see you, St. David, this morning. Good to see you, St. Jim. Hi, St. Bonnie. We're saints in the Lord. So in reality, Paul was writing this book not to a particular church, but he was writing to all the saints everywhere at any time. So it's written to us as well. And what a great book this is. There's some titles I could give. If you took the little pack of Bible book cards, many of you did. Last year, we went through the New Testament. The teens are still going through the New Old Testament. Last year, the New. Teens are doing the Old. But when you came to the book of Ephesians, the key word was, I'm wondering if they remember, bodybuilding, remember? Bodybuilding. But I have really another word or two words that I like to use with this book, and it's these. Wealth, simple, wealth and walk. There's six chapters in this book. The first three have to do with the wealth of the believer. The last three have to do with the walk of the believer. So this book could be called The Christian's Wealth, or it could have a heading of privileges or of belief, or of doctrine, because there's much doctrine in this book. It's just a great book. Wealth and then walk. You know, when Christy and I got married, can I tell you that story? Not married, back up. When we got engaged, we had been dating for a while, and I knew I loved her. I didn't know if she loved me a whole lot. But it came to a time when I thought it was right. And so I found a jeweler in Holland. The shop is closed now. It was in Washington Square in Holland. I forget the name of it, but I went in there. And I didn't have much money. I had been a Christian school teacher up until that point. And if you know anything about the Christian school movement, especially in the 1970s and the early years, they paid peanuts to teachers, typically. Schools were starting everywhere. And maybe some that shouldn't have got started. Churches couldn't really pay what was appropriate for a teacher. And so I had been in Florida for 4 years, and I tell you, they didn't pay much there. I just didn't have money. I basically lived from paycheck to paycheck. And I think I had was it $800, dear, in the bank? $600 or $800 saved up. And I went, did I pick out your, I picked it out, didn't I? Huh? I can't hear her. I can't hear you. I remember picking it out, and it took every cent that I had in the bank. So when we got married, and then we went out to Saugatuck State Park Beach, and I got on my knee. You know, I did the gentleman. I did the right thing. I got on my knee, and I asked her to marry me, and I wasn't sure what she was going to say, but she said yes. And that was one of the best days in my life. And if I'm remembering right, that's where I gave you the ring. I'm not sure. But it took everything I had. And after that, I still was teaching in Christian school. Now, Christy had a job before children came along, so things got a little bit better. But we've never had a ton of money in our life. We started in missions in 1997. We sold our house. I was working for Calvary Baptist Church. I had a regular paycheck that was coming my way. I knew what I was going to make every week up there. But Lord called us to missions, and then you know how missionaries live? By faith. We had no idea. We started out with nothing coming in. Maybe there was something from our home church immediately. But we had to hit the trail going to churches. For 9 months we did that. And then the situation got worse where we were going. The missionary was dying of cancer, and we got a call. We'd only been 9 months raising support, and a lot of missionaries take 2 years or even more. And the call came. He's dying. It's not good. Can you come quick? And we prayed, and we checked with our mission board, and they said, okay. And so we went. We didn't have even full support. But you know what I'm going to tell you? God has never failed to meet our needs. You know why? It's not because we're depending on a paycheck every week. It's because we're depending on the Lord, and His wealth is unmeasurable. And you're going to see that here this morning as we get into this book. Let's see. A simple outline of this book, chapters 1 to 3, the believer's heavenly position or the Christian's resources. And we'll, of course, start at the beginning here. Then in chapter 4 to 6 is the believer's, believers are to conduct themselves according to their calling of the Christian walk. Or conduct, behavior. It's a practical application in the second half of this book. The first half has to do with the Christian's wealth. You know, wealth is an interesting thing. The story is told of a lady by the name of Hattie Green. Hattie Green. She lived a pauper's type of life, like a hermit, I guess, if you will. It said that she ate cold oatmeal because she didn't want to waste hot water. I've never done that. Doesn't sound good to me. As it said about her, her son had a serious illness But she let it go because she kept trying to find a clinic that would give her free treatment. In the end, he had to have his leg amputated. But then, after she passed away, they found out that her estate was worth over $100 million. What a shame. Hattie Green, she lived a pauper, poor, but she had wealth. You know, that's true of many Christians spiritually. We live in poverty spiritually when God has promised us great riches, and certainly He has promised to meet all of our needs. Well, let's go back to this verse 1 here, if we could, all right? And we're going to just go through verse 3 this morning. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints. I've already mentioned that to you, which are at Ephesus, and then it also adds another qualification here. It says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're saved, as I've already said, you're a saint. But that doesn't mean you're faithful. It adds the condition here of faithfulness at the very beginning of this book. Faithfulness to the Lord in all areas of our life. That's just not coming to church and okay, you're in your seat today. But it's all areas of our life, our walk, everything we do, everything we say. Is there faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ? So right at the outset of this book, he lays that out for us, that here's a condition for what he has promised in the next few verses. Verse 2, it says, grace be unto you. Grace is a wonderful word. Do you know what it means? A lot of people have defined it as God's undeserved favor. Because salvation is not something we deserve. It's His undeserved favor. That's what grace is. But yet, the key is that we walk in grace. Live and walk in grace. Now, the Bible nowhere says walk in grace. It does say walk in love. The Bible says walk in faith, but it doesn't really say walk in grace. However, that principle is very clear throughout the Word of God. In 14 times in this book, Paul says, grace be unto you and peace. 14 times he says that, or grace, mercy, and peace. Okay, let me get some water here a second. Forgive me. Grace, mercy, and peace. 14 times in this book. So it's an important matter. But what you see here in verse 2, it says, grace be unto you and peace. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people want peace in their life. Man, they're going through turmoil, problems, difficulties. Oh, Lord, peace. Just give me peace. But they haven't come to the place where they've walked in grace, God's undeserved favor. And that's important. It's important. Now, people misunderstand sometimes that word grace today. They think that because we live in what we call the age of grace, anything goes. You can live like you want to live, and that's okay. Another word used there is liberty. We have liberty in this day and age, but they totally misinterpret the Word of God. Liberty, yes. We have liberty to live according to the Word of God. The word liberty and or the word grace do not mean that we can live any way we want to live. We can go to the nightclubs on Saturday night and then come to church on Sunday, and God doesn't care how we live. Yes, He does. The Bible says very clearly, 1 Corinthians 5:17. Somebody quote that for me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So old things are supposed to pass away. All things are supposed to become new. That's grace. That's living in grace. That's living in the liberty God has for us. But it's not peace first. These 14 times that I said to you, always grace comes first, then peace. Grace, then peace. Continuing on here, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace produces peace in our lives. You want peace? Live in God's grace, okay? Now, verse 3 is our primary verse this morning. This is such a great verse. It ought to be a memory verse. It is of mine. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ho! Did you get it? Look at it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, God the Father, hath blessed us with some spiritual blessings. Right? Is that what your Bible says? Oh no, that's right. I didn't read that right. I got the word wrong there. It says all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ, you know what? We're unbelievably rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not talking materially here. You can be poor, but yet you're rich in Christ. You know who the richest man is on the face of the earth today? Do you know? They say Elon Musk. Is that how you say his name? Elon Musk. And I don't know, he's connected with all those big companies, and is he into space and all of that stuff too? And his worth, this is from Forbes magazine now, business magazine, is $248.7 billion. I'd be happy with the 0.7. Let alone the 248.7. I mean, we wouldn't know what to do with 0.7 of a billion, would we? I wouldn't. That's crazy. How could somebody, what would they do with that much money even? I don't know. But see, we're not considering here material wealth, because he's not going to take it with him when he dies. I don't know if he's a believer or not. I haven't seen anything to indicate he is. But he's not going to take any of that with him when he dies. It's only the riches we earn in Christ, the spiritual blessings. And so blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's why this book here, I say the first three chapters have to do with the wealth of the believer, and there will be more as we go through these first three chapters. But it's unbelievable what God has for us. Three things to give you from this one verse, okay, if you're taking note of these things. First is the source of the blessing. Where does it come from? Now, Elon Musk, I don't know how he made his money. Businesses, and how do all these millionaires and billionaires, sometimes I wonder that. Of course, sometimes it's, what do they call that, if you inherit it. and it comes to you that way. But there's some guys that are entrepreneurs, and they make a lot of money. I just don't know how they do it, and I'm not trying to figure it out either. I'm not going to do it. But some of these guys, you know, they start up businesses, and they sell businesses, and I don't know how it all goes, and some are in the stock market and things like that. I just don't know. But where does the money come from for them? But here, you notice the source of the blessing. It's in the first part of the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It all comes from God. It's in, notice, in Christ at the very end of the verse. In Christ. Now that's a key. And I want to point that out to you this morning. You have to be in Christ. You have to know Christ as your Savior. None of this, none of the Word of God really applies in terms of the blessings that are here if you don't know Christ as your Savior. And as I look at our auditorium, perhaps the majority here do know the Lord as their Savior today, but I don't know. I don't know. And so I say to you this morning that if you have never truly been born again, there's never been a time in your life when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the starting point. That's the starting point. And so I encourage you, if you don't know, if you don't have an assurance of your salvation, let me put it this way, if you were to die today, do you know that you would be in heaven? And somehow that statement or wording it that way catches people's attention, okay? And they think, wow, I don't know. I'm not sure. But you can be sure, you can know. And we come to the end of the service today, we would love nothing better to help you from the Bible to know how you can know that you have truly been born again. But it says, in Christ, in Christ. Now, let me just share with you some of the blessings that are in Christ from the source, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book of Ephesians right here says you have God's grace. That's in chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. You have God's glory. That's in chapter 118, chapter 3, verse 16. You have God's mercy at work in your life. That's in chapter 2, verse 4. And listen to the last one. You have, and we'll come to this, you have the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's chapter 3, verse 8. You have all of those blessings in Christ. Oh, the wealth of a believer. Now, notice the scope. That's the source. The source is God. But notice the scope. And the scope is encompassed in that one word, three-letter word, all. A-L-L. All spiritual blessings. Or you have all the blessings of Christ, if I could word it a little bit differently. All the blessings of Christ. And the spiritual is far more important than the material. It's the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that as we go through this book. It's the Holy Spirit who channels God's riches to us through His Son. If you go back to Acts chapter 19, the believers were asked there, they were asked, do you have, they were professing Christians, let me rephrase that, they were professing Christians, they were asked if they had received the Holy Spirit. You might remember that passage in Acts chapter 19. It was just put to them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Now, if the answer was no, then you're not saved. Then you don't have the blessings of God. But if the answer is yes, you've received the Holy Spirit, then you are saved, and then you have all of the blessings in Christ. All that word all, is the scope of God's blessing in our life. Oh, what a wonderful promise that is for us. But notice then lastly the sphere of the blessings. Notice that it's in heavenly places in Christ. In the heavenlies, wording it a little differently, in the heavenlies in Christ. A Christian life is centered in heaven. A Christian citizenship is in heaven. Last week on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, we were up in Canada at a preacher's conference. And we crossed over into Canada. And because we're dual citizens, I handed them my Canadian passport. Ours, Christy and I's. Canadian passport. They say, welcome home. Welcome home. Come on in. Come on in. Why? Because we're citizens there. When we come back to this country, I hand them our American passports. And they say, welcome back. Welcome home. You know, one of these days, if you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to come to the pearly gates, and Christ is going to say, welcome home. Welcome home. You're home now. This is home. Because our citizenship is in heaven. Have you been saved again? If you have, your citizenship is in heaven. And that's your storehouse for all your wealth. Don't try to accumulate as much as you can here in this life. I know we need to provide. We need to eat. We need a roof over our head. We need clothes. And you know what? God has done that, I believe, for everybody that I know of in this church. There's nobody that's going without food. If they were, we would help them. But there's no one in that category. But don't, and you know what? God even blesses us further than that, doesn't he? He has. He's given us things that we really don't deserve, blessings. Above what we need. He gives us our needs and he gives us blessings above our needs. But remember, your citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that. Our names are written in heaven if you're a child of God. And God the Father is your Father in heaven. Isn't it wonderful to know that God the Father is your Father as a child of God? I delight in that. Most of you know my earthly father died when I was 3. And just this past week, my sister-in-law sent me a picture that I haven't seen for years of my earthly father. And I don't remember him, by the way. The only way I remember him is by these pictures. But I mean, all I remember is what the picture is. But my father was squeezing an orange. And it was right there with me. He had must have put a straw in the orange, and he was squeezing it. And I'm just a little guy. And I'm sucking that good orange juice out of the orange. Now, that was my earthly father. Think about your heavenly father. How much more he doesn't care for you and for me. What a blessing it is to be called a child of God. Oh, I just want our people, I wish everybody were here today. I wish somehow, I know we're recording our messages now, and thanks to Brother Sam back there and everybody who works back there in getting that capability going. You know, it was Brother Al who sat right here. In fact, the night before he died, he got to me. Right here we stood, and he took my hand. He said, that needs to be recorded, he said. And you got that going right after he passed away, I think, Brother Sam. And I think he knows that in heaven as well. But maybe those that aren't here today can get it. Or I'll do a little bit of a review next week as well. But I want God's people in this place to know their riches in Christ. It's so important for us to know where we stand in the Lord so that our lives can be productive Christians, so that we can have joy in our life, that we can be vibrant as believers in Christ. We have to understand the matter of our citizenship and that it's in heaven. Now, let me just close. You can close your Bible here if you'd like. And we'll go on from here. This is mainly an introduction here this morning. But I want to give you a little illustration here and make a few final points today. Then we'll have our invitation. There's an old American Indian legend that says one time a native person took an eagle egg whose mother, I guess, had abandoned the nest, and he took the eagle egg and he put it in the nest of a turkey. Okay? And well, the turkey hatched the egg along with some other turkeys. And this young eagle chick, I'm not sure what you call a baby eagle, but this baby eagle grew up with the turkeys. And all of its life, he kept thinking he was a turkey. He didn't know anything different. He did what the turkeys did. He walked around scratching the ground, looking for bugs, looking for seeds, pecking at the ground and things like that. He didn't fly much, as most turkeys don't fly much. But he spent his whole life like that. Well, as the legend goes, he got older, of course. And one day he was out, and he was looking in the sky, and he saw an eagle way up there, flying. He looked at that bird, and a turkey friend of his, was there with him, and he said to the turkey friend, he said, "What is that magnificent bird that's flying way up there in the sky? What is it? I've never seen anything like that in my life." And his turkey friend here said, "Oh," he says, "well, that's what we call an eagle. Now, he's the chief of birds." But the turkey said to the eagle here, he said, "But you can't be like him. You're just a turkey. And you've got to do what turkeys do. So don't pay any attention to him way up there in the sky." And you know what? The turkey never did think about it again. And he spent the rest of his life, and he died thinking he was a turkey. Well, that story may be a legend, but there have been people who have lived before who have falsely believed there are other types of animals. Now, I'm not talking about this transgenderism junk. Junk is the word. Okay, but there have been people, and I had a hard time believing some of this, so I looked it up because I like to be sure of my illustrations and so forth. And a lot of this goes back to the 1700s, late 1700s, when some of this happened. There was a child that was found years ago living with a tribe of monkeys in Uganda. And they call these individuals feral children. You know, like feral animals, feral children. And this boy was found living with a tribe of monkeys in Uganda. Well, those that found him took him to an orphanage, but he grunted, he squealed, he jumped on his hands, he ate grass, and was very fearful of people. He thought he was a monkey. Unbelievable, isn't it? And this one I looked up as well. And this one goes back to the late 1700s. A boy was observed living with a herd of antelope. Oh, and I kind of forget the country where this is. It wasn't in this country. Over a 10-year period, and there were several attempts to capture him, but I'm not sure if they did or not. But scientists, here's the thing now, scientists have a name for this type of behavior. And what they call it is imprinting, okay? I-M-P-R-I-N-T-I-N-G, imprinting. But essentially what it is it's an identity crisis for this individual. It's when somebody doesn't know who they really are. And that's what we're talking about this morning, because there are many Christians who have an identity crisis. They don't really understand. Many don't really understand all that they possess in Christ. I'm going to go on record and say this. I don't know everything that God has for me. All that God wants to give me, I don't think anybody can know all of it. There's more. There's more for us. And you know what the conclusion is of these illustrations? Is that too many Christians see themselves theoretically as turkeys instead of as God sees them, as eagles. You see, God wants us to fly like an eagle high in the sky. But yet people and Christians have been conditioned to think like turkeys. How sad that is. And it's because of imprinting. The imprinting from this world today. We've all been affected by it. Every one of us has been affected by the imprinting of this world in our lives in one way or another. I just assure you of that. Some more, some less. But Satan is at work, and he wants us to live like the monkeys, live like the turkeys, live like the world, instead of living like a child of the King. Instead of living like an eagle. But the choice is yours this morning. The choice is mine. What will it be? Turkey or eagle? Turkey or eagle? Let's bow our heads this morning.